Pigskin fans, the moment you have been waiting for all season is right around the corner, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs.
Now, all you have to do to get your share of these huge prizes is enter DraftKings' free Super Bowl Prediction Challenge. Once you submit your picks, you will get a free instant prize up to $25,000. And if you have the most predictions correct, you could win the top prize of $1 million. Now, who couldn't use $1 million? I certainly could. You certainly could. And download the app now so you can get a chance to win that $1 million. Enter the free prediction challenge. Answer questions like, who will score last? Who will score first? Who will take a kickoff for a touchdown, for instance? And boom, get ready to make it rain. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion. That's billion with a B to its players since 2012. So they know a thing or two about big paydays.
Now download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN to enter the free $55 million Super Bowl Prediction Challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. So use promo code THPN now and enter the free $55 million Super Bowl Challenge. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Calling all Jets fans and foodies. What's going on, guys? I'm Brandon Rewicki, the host of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. Look, if you love Jets hockey, this is the place for you. In-depth breakdowns from every game, a deep dive into the big plays and moments from Winnipeg's season, and all the Jets talk you will not find anywhere else. We got it for you on Skates and Plates. Plus, if you love carbs and everything tasty, we jump into the world of food as well. Once a week, we also speak with a member of the local culinary scene to highlight their great stories and the great food they put out. So there it is. Hockey, Jets, food, drink, everything good in life. It's right here on Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network.
I was walking through the halls of a Minnesota rink when along came a wild fan who started talking smack to me. He said, I bet you never liked the Blues until they won a cup. And so I calmly turned to him and said, hey man, listen up. I admit it's pretty great to win Lord Stanley's prize, but listen. I've been waiting for this moment my whole life. Yes, sir, I'm a Blues fan. Yes, sir, I'm a Blues fan. Heartbreak's all I knew, man. That team from old St. Lou, man. Got a cup in here, 52, man. Give me a Let's Go Blues. I know Arbor, Unger, Picker, Plager, Rab, McDonald, Shock, Hall, Chris Moore, Patey, Harvey, Jimmy, Robert, Sabourin, Berenson, Thompson, Eggers, Hess, Roberto, Pierre, Plant, Jacques Plant, Gossip, Merrick, Grinch, Urbano, Stevenson, Davidson, St. Marseille, McCreary, Lefley, Ecclestone, Huck, Palace, Harry, Talbot, Keenan, Sandy, Yassi. Yes, sir, I'm a Blues fan. Yes, sir, I'm a Blues fan. Heartbreak's all I knew, man. That team from old St. Lou, man. Got a cup near 52, man. Gimme a Let's Go Blues.
And now, the starting lineup for your Blue Notes podcast, Tom Franklin and the man called Wags.
Thank you, Tom Calhoun, and hello and welcome to Blue Notes, located on the best city on the Mississippi, the best in the Midwest. We've got that Stanley Cup power too sweet to be sour, and if you're so clueless, we are talking about St. Louis. This is your home for St. Louis Blues coverage on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Tom Franklin, live from Enterprise Center, joined, as always, by my comrade, Wags, who unfortunately is not at Enterprise Center, but still holding down the fort. How's it going, bud?
Well, it was going a lot better until that game happened tonight. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but I'm just once again jealous of you and your ability to be down there at Enterprise Center for the last couple of games. But you know what? that's the perks of working at KMOX, and I just got to keep working my ass harder to get there.
So if you're listening to the audio version of this, you may notice I don't sound the usual way that I do. That's because I'm using a headset here at the game. And if you're watching us on Facebook or on Twitter or YouTube or wherever you can find us, I want to assure you this is not a green screen. I can actually reach behind here, and this is real open air here. That is the actual Blues rink right behind me where they attempted to play hockey tonight. I say attempted because the execution, well, they got executed on offense, to be quite frankly, and we're going to talk about that for this episode here. That's all we're going to talk about is the series with the Kings, kind of talking about where the Blues are right now and looking forward to the series with Vegas coming up this week. Two games that will not be easy, to say the least. So we need some help to vent our spleen here, Wags, and we've got someone with us here. He's not going to do one of his Aloha commentaries, but rather we're going to hear his commentary for this whole episode. I'm talking about Guy, the Hawaii Blues fan. Tom Calhoun, why don't you introduce us to Guy?
And now, from Honolulu, Hawaii, via St. Louis, starting in the Pacific Ocean, Guy, the Hawaii Blues fan.
Aloha. How's it going, Guy? Guy, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. I'm Guy. I'm a pissed off Blues fan.
Clearly, Aloha. Clearly, yeah, a little disgruntled tonight and a little discombobulated, just kind of like how Vince Dunn was tonight on defense. So let's get into it, boys. 5-3 loss tonight against LA after a win Saturday night. Just from my vantage point here at Enterprise Center, it looked like the Blues were caught a little flat-footed tonight. Wags, let's go ahead and start off with you. What did you see from home?
That's exactly what I saw, too. Completely flat-footed in the first two periods. I mean, they jumped that third and kind of made it a game, but they just looked like they were a step behind, and we've seen that, unfortunately, in the second games of all three of these series, is where they haven't looked good, and that's something that, you know, might be a cause for concern right now. But I've been telling all the people that I've been talking to you tonight that you got to remember this is essentially the last preseason game because they didn't have any preseason games. So yep. Going into this Vegas series, that's really where I'm going to start to look and see, okay, where are the issues? Are they making changes? Are they making adjustments? And are they continuing to play McCullough in the defensive partnership, as you have basically put out on Twitter a fire sale when it comes to getting McCullough into all the games?
Hashtag start McCullough, man. That's the way it's got to be. The guy, and I watched him tonight, and you know, he was one of the Blues defensemen that actually did show up with his lunchbox ready to go to work tonight. And you got to wonder after tonight whether Vince Dunn will be maybe sitting up in the press box, you know, for at least a game to kind of think about his sins, as we hear the boos coming in from Hawaii. Guy, your assessment tonight of the Blues and one Vince Dunn.
Well, Vince Dunn is done. He needs to sit a couple of games. That was not, I don't know. I don't know what to say. He was constantly just in the wrong place at the wrong time. He was beat like a stray dog. I mean, consistently, it was bad. And you know what? You want to know how bad it was?
How bad was it?
Wags, you got that? See that screen share I got up?
Yeah.
Play that.
All right.
Oh, I think I have to hit play on my side. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. This is how bad it was.
Today, after the pregame meeting, Coach Craig Berube was asked who would start in goal. His answer was, it'll be a game time decision. That has everybody wondering who is going to start in goal. Oh, I wonder, who. Who's going to start in goal? Tell me, Oh, who's going to start in goal? I've got to know the answer. Is it Bennington or who so? Oh, I wonder, who. Who's going to start in goal?
Hey, that worked. I'll take that as a bonus all day long. It actually worked.
Hey, Wags, I think Luke Widman has some competition here on Blue Notes for Minister of Music.
Yeah, most definitely. you know what? I'll be perfectly honest. I feel like we're slacking a little bit, Tom. We haven't put our singing chops out there yet.
No, and well, I did sing a little bit yesterday when Country Roads played. So, and we saw how good that was. Not by the way, they did not play Country Roads tonight here at Enterprise Center. Country Roads was absent. So, I don't know. We'll blame John Denver for the loss on this one for not showing up to the game himself. But getting back to looking completely abysmal out there. We've seen this from Dunn before where, at times he looks like a top pairing defenseman. He is an excellent puck mover, an excellent play driver. The analytics community just loves Vince Dunn, and his analytical stats always look great. But then at other times, as our friend Gabriel Foley pointed out tonight, he looks like a candidate for the waiver wire. And tonight was one of those nights where he looked like a waiver wire candidate. Now, I will say, he didn't look bad for the rest of the game. I think I get the feeling Craig Berube probably put the fear of God in him or threatened to stuff him in a locker, during intermission. I mean, that would certainly do it for me, getting my game back up and running. But Guy, how do we fix Vince Dunn and make it so that he doesn't keep pulling this crap on us?
Send him to Hawaii and don't have him have a return ticket.
Oh, so basically your plan.
Yeah. I love my Blues. You absolutely know I love my Blues. But I am honest to a fault about my Blues. In fact, so honest, I have people trying to kill me because I'm so honest. But that's
fine. Whoa. You got a bounty on your head?
Well, after that article I wrote about Berube, I would think so. But there was some really, really bad stuff today. And it all seemed to start with, and this is going to kill you, Tom. It started with Nikola and losing a skate blade.
Yeah, it was like the curse was already in effect.
Yeah, it just kind of went from there. And it's, look, I got nothing against Mikola, and I think he sprained his ankle. I really do. Because if you notice, when he came back out, he still had some speed. But he was tender on his left a lot. He kept, how he normally spins to his right or to his left. He spun to his right after that. So maybe something there. But the thing that just chapped me was you at 14:26. You take a lead on Shin and Kai goal. And then just shit the bed. What is that? How do you only take 7 shots in the first period at home? You are a big, big, heavy team. Use it. Take shots. This is what we talked about at the intermission. And that's what I was trying to get at. And boy, they came out and just laid another fucking egg.
Yeah, they really did tonight. And it just kind of felt from the jump watching the game from my vantage point that LA was ready to go from puck drop. It was almost like they didn't even play a game yesterday. They had a lot of jump. They were peppering Husso with shots from the go. I mean, it was almost as if they knew that, hey, we get shots on, you know, this rookie goaltender, we might have a chance at this one and getting some points here. And that's just basically what they did. They executed their game plan. They really, it wasn't anything too special other than just pumping shots at Husso all game long and actually kind of, you know, getting some lucky bounces here and there. I will say the Kings had some puck luck tonight going for them for sure. And it's important that when we're talking about Husso here, you know, yes, he allows 5 goals. I don't think really, and I was hard on him at first tonight, but I really don't think this one is on Husso Wags. I really don't.
No, it's definitely not. I mean, he got hung out to dry so much in the game tonight. You know, puck bounces going the wrong way. I mean, that one that Dunn tried to throw cross ice, that got knocked down by the stick and then goes in and 2-on-1, they score there on the backhand. And then the Elias Anderson out of the penalty box, that's another one where you look at Dunn and go, what the hell are you doing? You basically, you saw a breakaway and you completely give up and don't hustle to get back into the zone. And Anderson missed the first shot. He missed the second shot. And if Dunn was hustling his ass off like he should have been, that puck may not have gone in. And that's the whole thing. I mean, LA just, they came in, they hustled, they played, they were a young team essentially. I mean, I think, honestly, I think they're actually one of the oldest teams in the league, but that's all because of the 5 guys that were Stanley Cup champions. So they're a young, hungry team, and it's a team that, as Colorado saw as well, you can't really overlook them as well. They're a very, very good team, and you're almost there, Tom. There you go.
That better be alcoholic or charged at least.
No comment. I want to keep my credentials here at Blues Games. I wish this was alcoholic, honestly, because I need some, you know, pretty bad here. So, Guy, are you worried about Husso at all after his first 2 games, allowing 9 goals? Or are you with me and Wags and that his defense is not doing him any favors?
Can I let the sailor out?
Let him out.
Abso-fucking-lutely I'm worried. Abso-fucking-lutely, I'm worried.
Look,
you got to look at, it's not just numbers. It's quality of what he's saved. He's made a few quality saves, but some of these goals are goals, you know, rookie mistakes. This guy's not a rookie. You know, if he was an 18-year-old coming straight into the league, okay. This guy's played for 3 years in the AHL. I'm sorry. He's not a rookie goaltender. The AHL, those guys are fighting for a spot. They're pushing and shoving and biting and fingering and all of that stuff, just like they are in the NHL. So it's no different. And there's a lot of things with Husso that concern the shit out of me. And I tell you what, this is an Armstrong mistake. Do you know why he traded Allen?
Financial.
No, it's not. Husso's on a one-way deal. He had to get rid of one of the goalies, and nobody would take Husso.
I still think the Allen's contract played into it, because if you still have Jake Allen on this team, you don't have Mike Hoffman. That's just the way it is. You could have LTIR'd Steen and still fit in Jake Allen's contract. But now that Allen is gone, you're able to bring in a guy like Mike Hoffman, which we could talk about him now, because it looked like at times tonight he was breaking out of his, you know, early season funk, and he's not on the scoring board quite yet. I'm personally a little concerned. I was warned from Shane Ryan of the Sens Hour podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network, who saw Hoffman for years in Ottawa. Hoffman is a guy that will disappear on you at times, and we have kind of seen that a little bit already. It's you know, I know there's a bit of an adjustment period for him. He just got on the team right before right around the turn of the year. He's been a member of the St. Louis Blues organization for less than a month. So you're, I guess one could say that, okay, he's still warming up. And at times it looked like he was, you know, at least a threat to score a couple times tonight and maybe coming out of his shell a little bit. But I am a little concerned that he's been being kept off the scoreboard, because that's why you bring in a guy like Hoffman to score. You don't have him play two-way defense because that's not his game. You don't have him be a playmaker. You have him out there to score, and he has yet to score. Wags, are you worried about Hoffman?
Once again, no, I'm not, because just like I said earlier, this is essentially the end of the preseason. You don't see guys really starting to click until, you know, week two or three into the season. And yes, being a shortened season, you don't really have that luxury. But look how long it took for the Blues in 2019 to really gel as a team and really get guys going. The only guy that really did anything was Ryan O'Reilly. And I think that's more of an outlier than an expectation. So, you know, Hoffman's getting chances. Like you said, he had a couple of opportunities tonight that Jonathan Quick was able to make saves on. But he's shooting the puck. That's the thing. He doesn't look like he's scared to shoot the puck. And as this season goes on, I would expect him to really start going on a streak here. And as one of our Facebook listeners said, Hoffman is a streaky player. We've seen that here before. David Backes was a streaky player. He doesn't have the offensive capabilities of a Mike Hoffman, but when you get a guy really going on a hot streak, watch out. Mike Hoffman can put pucks into the net, and Luke has it right on. I'd like to see more 5-on-5 time for Hoffman to actually settle in. That's a huge, huge piece of this, is the fact that the Blues are playing so much of the game on the PK that guys are not getting into a rhythm.
Guy, what is it? Do you think it's the NHL, you know, just calling more ticky-tack penalties to start the season? Or is there a real problem with the Blues here with the penalties?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. I want to get back to Hoffman real quick.
Sure.
Something that I – and I'm not trying to talk myself up, but Tom, you see my board. You see my board. I
showed
you a picture of my board. And the first thing I had on my board was Hoffman seeing ice well.
He is.
I absolutely – thought that he was seeing the lanes, seeing the open ice, and understanding the system much, much better than others have in the past. I'm trying to do something real quick. There we go. I wanted to move to a better place.
There you go.
So, no, Hoffman is not the issue, per se. And you want to know who else is a streaky player?
Who?
Every other player in the NHL.
That's true.
Okay, I know. I mean, no one scores a goal every game. Very few are a point per game. No one has an 82-game scoring streak. Even Gretzky, who broke the record, didn't score in every single game.
Just about did, but then you only make one Gretzky, so.
Okay, but that's the point I'm trying to get at, right? They're all streaky, and I'm not worried about Hoffman. I am concerned about discipline.
Yeah.
Too many of these penalties. Absolute, what do you call it? Point, to prove the point, Thomas face-off violation. Putting his hand on the puck during the face-off. Come on. You got a Stanley Cup ring on you. You've been in the league a couple of years. You know much, much better than that. That's discipline.
Yeah.
O'Reilly is trying to be, I don't want to even say this. He's got C-itis.
Right? Yeah, Captain C-itis, yeah.
Yeah, he's got C-itis. And three penalties in, he had 10 penalty minutes in 60 or 70 games last year. He's got 6 already in 5 games. You know, we're at the 10% point of the season. Wags, and I completely disagree with you on something. You said we don't have that luxury. You're right. We don't have that luxury, but you can't think of this as the preseason either because the points count. Right? So because
I points mean, count. They're still 3-2-1.
They are.
But
they
cannot,
are.
You cannot project this out. What projects out more is the problems. The problems project out more. Because that you have to fix. And when you're working to fix something, you don't get better on the stuff you're good at. You get worse at it.
That's true. And you can develop some. This is a time of the year where if you don't fix, you know, the issues with the penalties, you know, you start developing some bad habits, and those can linger on, you know, throughout the rest of the season. I mean, keep in mind, these guys did not get the usual training camp. You know, they had a very quick ramp up to the season. And so, I mean, I still feel like, you know, we have to keep the disgruntled Blues fan away from this chat here, guy, for just a little while, because it's still early, okay? It is still early. It'll be fine, I think. I mean, the fact that they're 3-2-1, you know, at this point of the season, I mean, that's not the worst start in the world. I mean, we have seen far worse starts from this Blues team, as you just saw the scoreboard starting to go out here. We'll see how long they keep the lights on here. Hopefully the Blues can rebound this week against Vegas. But, yeah, it's just the face-off violation penalty. I just had to laugh at that, just because it's like, God, they're literally inventing ways to go into the penalty box now. I mean, we did not see the too many men on the ice penalty. I think maybe they have solved that finally. Baby steps, okay? Baby steps. Exactly. Big round of applause for that. So, the troubling thing here is the fact that the Blues are in a division where points might be hard to come by at times. And you know that you have the haves with the Blues, Avs, Golden Knights, and, you know, the Wild, and maybe the Coyotes. And then you have the have-nots in, you know, L.A., San Jose, and Anaheim, the California teams. When you're taking on these California teams, you know, like the Sharks or like the Kings, you need to get at least 3 points out of these series, if not 4. They did the job against San Jose, bouncing back from that horrific 8-0 loss, which I guess we can all be thankful that Husso didn't allow 8 goals this game. Positives. Against the Kings, they end up with just 2 out of 4 points. That has to be disappointing, and that has to be concerning, because now you're going into a series with Vegas. Vegas is hot right now. They're probably the best team in the NHL right now, if not at least top 3, just in terms of how they're playing lately. So going into that series stumbling like this, I am a little concerned about the immediate future. But I think there's still time to turn this thing around. It's just we got to get those points, Wags. We've got to get those points against these, you know, these bottom feeders. Because in the end, when you're fighting for spots for the playoffs, 1 or 2 points could make the difference. And we'll be looking back at games like tonight here at Enterprise Center as lost opportunities.
Yeah, you look at what Colorado's had to go through as well. Colorado is sitting at 3-3-0 on the year. They're a point behind the Blues right now, one of the Stanley Cup favorites. So not just the Blues are struggling. I mean, Colorado lost to Anaheim tonight. So the Blues aren't the only teams struggling against these so-called bottom feeder teams. Vegas is the only one that's really taken advantage. And we talk about Arizona, 2-3-1 right now. They're at 5 points, but it's still early. And that's why, like I said, you can't be concerned, but you kind of have to be concerned. I do agree with Guy that, you know, you can't think of it as preseason, but that's just where they're at in their state of return. You have to get as many points as you possibly can, and it's a shame that they didn't get at least a point tonight, because that would have put them at 8 and kept them tied with Minnesota for second place. But you see what happens. It's a back-to-back, as one listener points out. It's a back-to-back games. Those are difficult to win. LA came out and they jumped on us. That's the thing that's going to be different about this year, is even if you have back-to-back games, there's not going to be any travel involved. You know, you're already there. You slept in the same bed. So that's going to be another wrinkle that's kind of added into this season, that the back-to-back games are not like they're used to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're going into the Vegas series here, Guy. And of course, you're the one that dropped the bomb track on Coach Berube in STLFanReport.com. So if you're Coach Berube, how are you getting these boys, you know, ready to go against a very tough Vegas team, if you're Coach Berube, Guy?
I'm looking at this one game at a time, and I'm looking at what you're going to take on against Vegas, what Vegas is. Now, Vegas beat Arizona tonight, 1-0. And that's telling you that Vegas is not, that's slipping a little. They should have beat Arizona a little bit better than that. Vegas is white for the taking. They just lost a game the other day. I think it was to Arizona. They lost their first game to Arizona. Yep. So you've got to go into Vegas with one thing on mind. Kiss. Kiss.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Wait a minute. Somebody said that. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
Get right back. Right back to what you are as a team.
Yeah.
Stop worrying about what Krug can do. Stop worrying about what Hoffman can do. Worry about what you are as a team. Don't worry about being a leader. You are a leader. You have to do what makes you good. Where the Blues, everyone looks at the Blues and goes, oh, they're a dirty team. No, they're a heavy team. There's a difference between dirty team and heavy team. Boston is a dirty team. Any team that has Brad Marchand is a dirty team. That's dirty.
Well, we've got Kyle Clifford, so, I mean, we're trying to keep up with the Joneses, I guess, there. Clifford, by the way, looked very physical tonight. I haven't, you know, we haven't seen that goal-scoring touch we saw in Colorado from Clifford since then. But I will say this. I mean, Berube seems to like Clifford because he's started all but one game, the game that Sammy Blais came back in. So I guess we're going to have to get used to him, I guess. All right, so we do have one final treat for you here before they yank me out of the suite here at the Enterprise Center so they can clean it. We have Luke Whitbin dropping us his week two rap review with us here. Now, he recorded this before tonight's game, so he might be a little more positive than we are. But you know what, Wags guy, we need some positivity here. So let's go ahead and hear Luke Whitbin's latest rap beat.
Finally back to St. Louis, they were feeling the blues. Going down eight rips is no way to lose. Now the team won't admit this, but I'll tell the truth. I was glad to see the Sharks and essential workers too. A chance to fix the special teams that were no good against a team that is rebuilding and was starting dupes. First power play chance, it didn't click. So LeBlanc came back out and scored on a tip. But the PK was no better because they left Couture alone. Even though they were down two, I still felt they were in control. Falk out of the box, scores an early goal. Then Hoffman with his first, but it wouldn't hold. O'Reilly back in the box. Scandella blocks a pass, but it tees up Burns. Sharks score on every chance, but the Blues keep working, and Kyrou's fast. Blows by Carlson to Scrum and Suze. It's Shen with the blast. Perron was looking for O'Reilly, tried to pass it through. Justin, don't give up flying. Falk, he tipped it in. Thank you! But despite the domination, they would tie it. Guess who? The Toothless Wonder. What a blunder. Calling Jordan Kyrou! The kid's on fire as he wired through legs under the bar. It took a while, but he's finally becoming a star. The Blues would hang on, but hang on, we still got a problem with the special team, so maybe we should stay out the box. So we move on to game two, and here's the recap. That wasn't a mistake, it's just that nothing really happened. If the Blues won't finish their game, why should I have to keep rapping? Yeah, we got out with a point, but only three shots in the third, none in OT, and in the shootout, first two missed the net, absurd. Now it wasn't all bad, they scored no power play goals, and we gave them a chance, because we took seven all told. I got a three-year-old at home, and she can count to five, so why can she, but the Blues can't keep the sixth man off the ice? All right, I'll be nice, I like how Bennington played. He got help from the post, but still made 37 saves, and Kyrou made another play that let Chen pick a goal up, and I really like the minutes that we got from Nick McCullough. The power play will score if you give it some time, but like coach said, we need everyone to fall in line. Chief didn't mention names, but here's my list: Scandella, Krug, Dunn, Perron, and Thomas. They had to play better, the team needs confidence, so there was no better time to play Los Angeles. But the Kings had the chances when the game began. Kempe, Clegg, and Vilardi couldn't get the puck, and St. Louis on the man advantage, a sore spot for the Blues. But they finally got a goal from Torrey Krug. Kempe scored in the second. We put a stop to their fun, cause just 2 minutes later it was Thomas to Dunn. But Thomas wasn't done with the nifty plays. He set Perron up for the third goal with a pass through some legs. Things were looking up for the Heritage Blue. Then the penalty already started that familiar tune. First one, then two, then a Gunnarsson hold. Too many men on the ice led to a 5-on-3 goal. The momentum was gone, but the Blues had the lead. And as the clock ticked on, they gained some energy. They kept the pressure on. They didn't go into a shell and they were blocking shots. Most notably, 3 by Scandella had to kill another penalty at end of the game. And with an empty net, Forsgård assaulted away. I was happy with the outcome, so no need to pout. Now I want to see more from Sanford and my cardboard cutout.
Yeah, we do need to see more from Sanford. Thank you very much, Luke Whippen. Of course, I guess we're not done calling players out, Luke, with the diss track on Zach Sanford there. And that's another guy, he's playing, you know, with quality line mates. He's up there with the I think he's with the O'Reilly Perron line, and he's been kind of invisible as well. But, you know, we've kind of seen that from Sanford guy. He tends to – another one of those guys that kind of, you know, tends to disappear.
Yeah, I'm not as worried about Sanford as much. I mean, Sanford is one of them guys you just know he's a role player.
Yeah.
And as a role player, we expect too much from him. And I think in his role, he does a very, very good job. Now, he's going to get you goals here and there, and that's fine. But don't forget what his role is. He's a third, fourth line player. He's someone that's supposed to wear down the other team. And you think about this. You brought up Hoffman. What line is Hoffman on?
I think he's on the third line right now with Thomas and Skorzak. Yeah.
You have a 30-goal scorer on the third line. You want to know why I'm pissed off? You got beat 5-3 and 8-0 with a 30-goal scorer on the third line.
Yeah, I get wanting to have Robert Thomas have a quality playmate with Mike Hoffman to get him going. But I think, you know, again, while I've been harping it's early. You can see trends starting, you know, besides the penalties, of course. And one of those trends is maybe Thomas and Hoffman aren't working out as well as in theory. So maybe it might be time to move Hoffman to, say, the O'Reilly Perron line to get those guys going. I kind of dissed O'Reilly a little bit when we chatted between periods, guy, but kind of wondering where he's been. Well, of course, he goes out and scores a goal, and then Perron had a goal the night before. So, but putting Hoffman with that line, that might get everyone re-energized. And it feels like we're kind of already at a point, Wags, where we're going to start seeing Craig Berube, the mad scientist, you know, starting to change lines around. Like, you know, he's wearing his lab coat and he's got his chemistry set in front of him, trying to figure out what the right chemistry is on this team, because I think there are some chemistry issues.
Yeah, there certainly are, and you know, he's always pushed the right buttons when it comes to the moves that he's made with the forwards, the defensive pairings, which goaltender to put in. You're going to start seeing it. We've seen a little bit of it, you know, not having a Sammy play in the lineup because of suspension first off, but then putting him in there and then out. We're already starting to see a little bit of the juggling, but yeah, having a guy like Mike Hoffman on the third line, trying to force that chemistry with a guy like Robert Thomas, yeah, you're going to give it a try for a week or so, but you have to put him with guys that will actually make him better. And Griffin Young chimes in, I know we actually lost to the Kings feeling all too well. So like I said earlier, Colorado is feeling the pressure a little bit as well. And a Stanley Cup favorite not playing well at this time makes me feel a little bit not better, but okay about where the Blues are at right now. It's really going to be crucial to play Vegas well these next two games.
Yeah, it almost kind of feels like teams like the Blues and the Avs have a little bit of extra pressure on them just because they're expected to, you know, carry the division with Vegas. And the teams like the Kings and the Ducks and the Sharks aren't expected to do anything but, be speed bumps along the way. You know, so those teams have a bit of a chip on their shoulder to the start of the season as well to prove that, hey, we belong too. We play hockey as well. You know, don't demote us to the AHL. Of course, we don't have a, you know, promotion relative relegation system here in North America, for better or worse. I think it'd be interesting to dabble with. But regardless, the Blues get to take on Vegas for the next two games, and then they got a two-game set with the Anaheim Ducks. I think that one's in Anaheim. We will actually be talking to the Quack Report guys once again for Thursday's episode of Blue Notes. Look forward to previewing that. But let's look ahead to Vegas, Guy. And, you know, we know the Blues have some issues to start the season that they have to iron out. Penalties, chemistry, Vince Dunn, just in general. But, you know, what are you expecting to see against Vegas here in these next two games?
Alex Pietrangelo flat on his ass.
Yes, agreed.
You know, and you know what? That has nothing to do. I love Alex. I really do. He made his choice. Now suffer the consequence.
He made a lot of choice
to flatten him out. Yeah. That's, yeah, I mean, that's there's no ands, ifs, or buts there.
Yeah, Petro didn't make the Lions' choice when he by staying in St. Louis. He went to Vegas for the cash and prizes, I guess. Wags, what are you hoping to see out of the Blues against Vegas?
I just want to see some consistency. That's the big thing for me is consistency, not penalties. But yeah, just inconsistent play from line to line. I mean, the fourth line has been the best line so far this year. Yeah, maybe not they're scoring all the goals, but the consistency and the pressure and the cycling and everything that they're doing right now, the fourth line is the best line. I want to see that from all four lines. And I really want to see consistency with the defensive pairings as well and just the play of the game. Protect the front of your net, get the puck out of your zone, and then get some offensive pressure. Just consistency.
Yeah, absolutely. And may I remind you, you know, while we're, you know, plugging articles, I did one for Last Word on Hockey not long after I joined them about how the Blues play against their potential divisional opponents, whether it was the West or Central. And one thing I learned is the Blues play up to tough opponents like Vegas, like the Avs. So I'm expecting the Blues to come out firing. They know that they can't keep squandering points like this. They know they need to get on track. I think Coach Berube will get them back on track. I still have full faith that'll happen. And of course, we'll have Binnington back in net. So that means we can put away the Xanax when we see Husso starting because, you know, Husso himself's probably going to have the yips a little bit after the introduction to the NHL that he has gotten so far. Alrighty, guys. Well, I am actually being waved at right now to like wrap it up and get out of the suite that I'm in here. So I think we have to wrap it up here for Blue Notes as well. Guy, any final thoughts?
Well, my one final thought is you need 3 points out of Vegas. You have to get 3 points, and you need 4 out of the Ducks. But the Ducks just beat Colorado tonight. Thank you, Ducks. Let's play simple, hard hockey, and then we're going to be that team. And, you know, remember, when someone writes an article, read the whole article and not just the title.
Exactly. And, of course, keep it simple, stupid. As you said earlier, KISS. That means making sure your skate blades actually stay on your skates. And if you're Marco Scandella, making sure you stay keep a hold of your stick so you don't get penalties when you drop your stick. Wags, what are your final thoughts?
I agree 100% with Guy and yourself. Just keep it simple, get the points when you can, and stop taking stupid penalties.
There you go. Simple, easy, just like that. And it's going to happen, guys, just like that. We hope so anyway. Yay! All righty. Guy, go ahead and plug away. Tell us what you got working on STL Fan Reports or the Blue Note Fan Report. Plug away. Where can we find your stuff?
Well, first of all, for the Blue Note Fan Report, I'm going more live than recorded shows. My hard drive shit the bed on me, and I lost everything. So I'm trying to get that remedied. So I'm going more live, and I want to do more. If you're at the game, I want to do more of those intermission reports. I thought they were absolutely wonderful tonight. I thought we had really good chemistry going, unlike the Blues. And got a few articles I'm working on. You know, maybe I'm not the best at writing titles, but understand, under the gun doesn't mean that someone's going to get fired. It means that they're under heavy pressure. And people didn't understand that, but that's what the article was about. I'm going to do weekly wrap-ups on all four divisions. I'm going to try and keep that going. And maybe a little bit about the game tonight.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. And I want to thank you for helping us out here on Blue Notes, as you always do, and coming on live here tonight for some special recap. And, of course, we'll be back with the Aloha commentary and everything that you do for us next week. Thank you so much, Guy. Wax, thanks for manning the controls tonight while I am away. And we will be back to kind of a more of a normal episode on Thursday and beyond. Of course, if I'm still at these games on Sunday nights, you know, I will be glad to be live here and just kind of help bring you back into Enterprise Center, because I know you can't be here, you know, those are you that are listening and watching right now. So that's one reason I've been kind of taking photos and doing those live videos that I've been doing, just to kind of bring you back into a place that I know you all want to go back to so much. So I'm blessed to be here, and I'm blessed to have you guys listening and watching. And on that note, that'll do it for Blue Notes. I want to thank you for listening and watching, because without you, there is no me, there is no Wags, there is no Guy, and there is no Blue Notes. I'm Tom Franklin, reminding you to not be a chump and always play to the whistle.
A reminder that you can follow Blue Notes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Blue Notes Pod. I'm the voice of the Blues, Tom Calhoun. Jeremy Boyer, play us out.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.